Talk given Saturday, 16th January 1971. If you do meditate, in the true sense of the word meditate, and if something significant, truly significant, emerges, it will reveal yourself to yourself. It will show you the nature of the movement of your own life. This is of fundamental importance, because every single human being is unique. There is no one else in the world like you. No one who can compare with you, no one with whom you may be compared. Now, if you begin to see the nature of the movement of your own life, you will become aware of the ways in which life may be fulfilled in you, yourself. This awareness need not have a specific formulation, a specific picture. I'm saying this as a preliminary to a very important question. Do you know what your destiny in life is? And it's an extremely difficult question for most people to answer. The root of the difficulty is the fact that we are self-oriented. We have an egoistic definition of ourselves, an egoistic misperception of our own being. To put it in another form, our self-consciousness is an isolating self-consciousness. It cuts us off from totality. Intellectually, quite glibly, we say, oh yes, there is only the one total reality, and each and every single human being is an integral part of it. Beautiful catechistic statement. But the making of that catechistic statement does not mean at all that this person who is making that statement has realized that as truth. And because that is the case, it is quite impossible for that individual ever to know, to begin to know, what his true destiny in life is. As long as we are self-oriented, as long as our self-consciousness isolates us from the totality, we shall never be free of a vast burden of unnecessary sorrow. Sorrow on our own account, because it emanates from causes within ourselves, and sorrow which comes to us through the cruelty of circumstance. Now, in order to investigate, explore just a little bit this question of one's true destiny in life. Recall one or two matters which we have been considering throughout the autumn. The perfected Holy One is the nexus for the free inflow and outflow of transcendence. We considered that matter. What we may call the energy of transcendence, which emanates out of what we may call mind only, or to use the Sanskrit Pali term, akasha. That energy is dimensionless, it is formless, mysteriously it works throughout the natural order, the whole universe, which includes us, every one of us. We can understand only the forms and the dimensions of that manifestation. And it is a manifestation of an energy which is quite beyond what we in this world know as energy. What we know as energy is measurable. We can rig up an apparatus and make that energy perform what we want it to perform. Electricity, heat, light, anything you like. But this energy of transcendence, dimensionless, formless, is beyond man. We control energy in the natural universe, but that energy controls us and works through us. Now remember, it's dimensionless, it's formless. This is the archetypal energy. Akasha, which, as I have suggested before, is best translated and understood as mind space. Not just space, because immediately one thinks in terms of physical space, which has dimensions, and which is a container. But this is dimensionless. Nevertheless, this akasha is a container if we realize that it is dimensionless. It contains the energy of transcendence. And when it contains the energy of transcendence, that energy is the archetypal plenitude which permeates and runs the entire natural order. Now, this archetypal plenitude, being transcendent, contains all energy and its manifestations as we know it here in this world in terms of the dualities and also the integration and transcendence of that duality. This is difficult. But I'll tell you one of the consequences of this. It manifests both ways. It manifests as expression and also as the withholding of expression. If we call expression positive, we are naturally inclined to call the withholding of expression negative. But this negative is a positive. It positively withholds. Deliberately withholds. You are born with a poetic gift, let us say. In this person with the poetic gift, that archetypal energy will manifest in such a way as to bring that gift to fulfillment. In this person who has an equally wonderful poetic gift, that archetypal energy will manifest in terms of withholding any poetry coming out of him in life. Now look, do try and understand this. There are tremendous consequences involved in understanding this. If you really understand this, all self-will goes out. All merely resigned acceptance of fate goes out. All feeling that, oh, if only I could express myself and I'm just wasted and this and that, all goes out. All the misery, the envy, the struggle, the futile efforts which one makes in order to fulfill that which is desired by me here, all goes out. And you are a free man. If you understand this, don't merely say it's the will of God. It is the will of God. We can use that phrase if you like. But one must understand the meaning of the will of God. If you don't like the word God, say the archetypal energy, the cosmic energy. Don't worry about the word. Understand the inner reality. This is very, very deep. If you understand this, you will understand how power works throughout the manifested universe. You will also solve the problem of good and evil. What hurts me, I call evil. What I don't like or cannot understand, cannot appreciate, I call evil. But in terms of totality, there is no good and evil. Totality is beyond good and evil. In the process of the works, it shows an anabolic, catabolic manifestation. An ingestion, a digestion, and an excretion and an assimilation. It shows all these things. Now, if in the process, the great universal process, I, this person, you yourself, are the instrument through which what we commonly call the positive expression, success, fulfillment comes about, well and good. That is how the archetypal energy is manifesting through you. If it manifests the other way, in terms of withholding, in terms of pain, horror, misery, quite undeserved, as mortals would say, and let us agree outright that it is undeserved. Nevertheless, it is part of this great universal process. That is your destiny. It's a terrible destiny for some. consider the martyrs of the world, the holy ones, the saints, the good ones, those who cared. But they were martyred. You can't explain that away in logical terms. You cannot possibly begin to understand such phenomena with the background of our concepts of justice and right and good and truth and all the rest of it. Such an event will not fit into that at all. But if I myself, if you yourself can approach and enter that state of inward silence, that quietude where the clamoring mind has ceased to disturb, then you will understand the nature of totality and its significance. And you will understand why this phenomenon and that phenomenon comes into being. If one really understands this, when the shock of the unjust, the horrible, the painful comes to me, to you, you will know, yes, this is it. This is part of this great process. You will not merely repeat words, oh, it's fate, it's karma, it's the will of God, it's the inscrutable, mysterious other ways of providence and all the rest of it. You will know precisely what they mean. And you will be able to cooperate with it. Look into your own lives. Pain, sorrow, they invade our lives like that, don't they? Come like poisoned darts. And we pathetically, tragically, break our heads against stone walls, asking, why, oh, why should this happen to me? There is no answer in the terms of logical discourse. But in terms of that understanding which altogether transcends all logical discourse and thought, you will see destiny working out. Consider how many of us feel, oh dear me, all my life has been wasted, I've been useless, I've done nothing for the good of humanity, and this, that, and the other. Haven't I? The total universe at this moment contains me. It would not be the total universe without me. Would the total universe have you if you were so useless as you imagine? Not at all. Understand this, and all self-seeking will slip out. It will just vanish like an idle dream. Or like a morning mist before the sunrise. The Mother of God must have felt, what is the use of my living here? 5 or 6 clamoring children about, And that old man, the carpenter, hammering all the day long, bursting my eardrums with it. She may have felt her life useless. And what did she feel when she saw her son on the cross? Useless, utterly incapable of doing anything, helpless against the tyranny of the cruelest possible circumstance. And to understand that uselessness, live through it with understanding, with the removal of all isolating self-consciousness, in that eternal God is triumphant. In that lies supreme bliss, the incomprehensible bliss, which will manifest as pain. Now perhaps you'll understand why the martyr dies in ecstasy. Never mind what the little explanations that the psychologist gives you. It's only the perfected Holy One who is the true psychologist, the faultless psychologist. He sees and knows the psyche. As the conditioned, trained psychologist does not know the psyche. Now, if one can really grasp this sort of thing, one will be able to cooperate in howsoever little a way in the fulfillment of one's true destiny. Don't immediately raise a shape in the mind that, I'm beginning to see my destiny so and so, all beautifully planned out. That's all illusory. The nature of that destiny will emerge into consciousness from moment to moment as you live, attentively, mindfully, in the here now, paying complete attention to the here now. This is very important. If one says, I see the shape and picture of my destiny, be assured that this is the activity of the self-oriented mind, not the mind which is liberated. We are the instruments through which the archetypal plenitude works its way, its will. Now, and remember that the archetypal plenitude is something quite beyond thought, quite beyond shape, form. It is a mystery. To attempt to probe into this mystery is sacrilegious. It will reveal itself to one who gives himself totally to it. And it will reveal itself from moment to moment in the living shape of that person's process of life. And this way, the religious consciousness functions as perfectly as it possibly could through that individual. This is the way of transcendence through the individual. The individual has no need to say either yea or nay. Just be alert, awake, unanxiously alert. This is the important thing. The archetypal plenitude knows its business. Do I make the morning star shine? No, the archetypal plenitude does. You see, if you approach reality somewhat along these lines, you will find that selfness is out. The root of the limited evil which afflicts me, the person, is out. All the events that may take place in my life, all that may come to me in my life, will inevitably be pleasant and painful, both. That is the nature of events of one's life. You simply cannot avoid that. But that core of pure happiness, which is the actual nature of the inner living being, will remain untouched. That peace of mind in the midst of the most terrible disturbance and sorrow and upset, that peace will remain. Because that is not liable to change. All this is liable to change, pleasure, pain. Now you remember last time we spoke about the zodiac. And I mentioned astrology in its real sense is one of the seven keys to unlock the esoteric wisdom. Now recall my saying that only the purified one can sensibly and rightly approach the study of astrology. The study of the zodiac, let me say. And only the purified holy one can rightly read the signs of the heavens. So don't go running off to the nearest seaside astrologer or whatever it is. Ask him to cast your horoscope. He'll cast you into trouble. Generally. Remember also that the zodiac, which is concerned with the esoteric wisdom, is a purely symbolistic system. But because the mind of man is so constituted, any symbolism which emerges out of the patterning, the inner patterning of that particular mind, is a symbolism which works. It's pragmatic. That's the strange part of it. After all, you look at a thermometer. Why on earth should mercury inside glass give you accurate information about what your body will feel with respect to heat and cold? Of course, it's perfectly true that physics has found out all the causal relationships and so forth, and therefore we know it. Here we have not found out the causal relationships yet. But it is a symbolistic system which works. And what is it essentially concerned with? The knowledge of the zodiac is concerned with the understanding of the ways and the modes of expression in our world, in our own minds and hearts, of that dimensionless, formless, archetypal energy. That is what it is concerned with. Therefore, don't go and ask the whole of the heavens, when will I get married? Or should I sell my stocks and shares on Wednesday the 28th, or postpone it till the following month on Friday the 5th at 5:30 in the morning? Don't ask those questions of the zodiac. Don't ask any questions of the zodiac. Let the zodiac tell you what you are fit to receive. If I purify myself, this archetypal energy will awaken in me understanding of the ways in which my life moves. And if I understand the movement of my life, whatever it brings, therefore, pleasant or painful or both, in fact it will always bring both, but one or the other may preponderate, that will be the truth and the right thing for me. Yeah. We agreed the last meeting on the Saturday that we'd just go through some of the significances associated with the signs of the zodiac. You know that the zodiac is divided into 12 signs. And the archetypal energy in its manifestation throws out predominantly certain aspects associated with each sign. We give these manifestations various names. Naturally, we have to. Do not imagine that the constellations in the heavens are responsible for all these qualities and forces and powers. Do not imagine it that way. It's a symbolistic system. But the symbolistic system is associated with the constellations as we see them. The constellations as we see them, as we have named them, the names are quite illogical names. Because when we say such and such stars form such and such a constellation, in that constellation you will be seen through telescopes at any rate, island universes which are outside our own galaxy. So you see the logical absurdity of the thing. Therefore, bear in mind that you mustn't think of this as you think of physical apparatus. It's a symbolistic system. But in some curious way, our constitution, physical and psychical, is patterned in relation to the pattern of the signs of the zodiac. Now also bear in mind what I said earlier, that this archetypal energy manifests both ways, in terms of expressing and also in terms of withholding that particular type of expression. So that you might say, oh, I was born under Taurus or whatever it is, but what you say about Taurus just doesn't apply to me at all. I am looking at my pattern only in terms of my vision. And my vision of it is distorted by my desire of what I, as regards what I want in life, what I want to express, and so forth. And this is where the mistake comes. Now, let's just go through these signs of the zodiac. We have March, April, 21st to 21st, Aries, representing force, power, creation. And it also represents recreation, or, as the Christian would say, resurrection. Now, I don't like to use the word resurrection simply for this reason. We think of resurrection along the lines we have followed in interpreting the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as the rising up again of that entity. And this is the mistake. The rising up again of that entity, which each one of us pictures in his or her own different way. In the sign before Aries, namely Pisces, there takes place ultimately the complete dissolution, the complete ending of the whole universal cycle from Aries to Pisces. That ending is complete death, but it is not annihilation. And this is the incomprehensible mystery of it. A complete ending which is not an annihilation. Then that which rises up in Aries is not a carrying over of that which ended in Pisces. This incarnational concept is a mistaken conception. Because the process of the universe is not a continuity in the sense that the flowing of a river appears as a continuity. It is the intermittent flashing. In, out, in, out, in, out. Life, death, life, death, life, death. It's that sort of thing. And each flashing is complete in itself. To us it seems related if it goes sufficiently fast. It seems a continuity. This continuity is the illusion from which we suffer. Our definition and our concept of continuity is where the illusion comes. That is why I don't like to use the word resurrection, because it is associated with the idea of continuity of entity. No, it's a complete ending, which is not annihilation, and this is I can't explain it at all. This is the mystery. And then there is a recreation, a new creation. This is something which belongs wholly to the realm of transcendence, not in our world. So, Aries stands for that. You know, some of you are probably born under Aries, 21st of March to 21st of April. Now, if you understand this, you will understand. If it expresses itself in your life, how? Whatever happens to you, you can always rise up and go ahead. Start off new things. You're a pioneer. There is a certain invincibility. But Aries expresses power just without thinking about it. There's the power of Aries which goes out, expressing, rising up again and again. And it's very easy for the Ariesian to squander this life energy. Recreation. Now, if you are an Ariesian, you may have noticed that this does happen in your life, or you may notice that, oh, this has never happened in my life. This is the archetypal energy expressing itself as the withholding of the positive expression of its characteristic. If you understand that, then you won't complain that, oh, whatever I do, just it fizzles out, it never comes off, and so forth. You will understand, yes, this is the will of the Supreme working through me in this way. You take a common instance throughout the human race. This is not in relation to Aries, but the nature of the phenomenon, it illustrates the nature of the phenomenon of which I'm talking. Practically all women want to be mothers, and they feel that they'll be fulfilled that way. But take the case of those women who just have miscarriage after miscarriage. They never have children, live children. The archetypal energy in their case manifests in terms of withholding that experience, that type of expression. See? It's that sort of thing. Do you get what I mean? All right. We'll go on to the next one. Taurus, 21st April to 21st May, standing for security. Aries just goes out, throwing out energy. Taurus says, now, let's make something with it. So it conserves. Taurus is the great conserving power. It also represents gravitation. Because whatsoever is conserved gathers mass, weight, and stays put. For Taurus stands for foundation, for actual manifestation, which Aries does not stand for. So if you're Taurian, the tendency is to try to show security and gravitation as the expressions of this archetypal energy at work. It may show quite the reverse also. Both are included. The expressing or the withholding. 21st May to 22nd June it will be, usually. Gemini, the twins, represent movement and intelligence. The beginning, the intelligence in the practical sense, in the here now. This is the way to do this. This is what we ought to do. Organizing and so forth and so forth. Jaminian people always want to do things, to get things done. It's a quick intelligence. Very sharp. On the spot. You see a group of people trying to do something, you sail in and, oh, a lot gets done straight away. Sometimes the teacups get upset too. Movement and intelligence for Gemini. 22nd June to 22nd July, Cancer, organic life and consciousness are the principal ways in which this archetypal energy finds expression. Organic life and consciousness. Remember these. Remember what applies to you yourself. Don't try to remember the lot. What applies to you yourself according to your birthday. The emergence of consciousness. Consciousness in the sense of the beginnings of separation, thou and I. Self-consciousness begins to emerge out of Cancer. The power to delay a response is associated with it. Therefore, choice comes into life. And you may find that if you are under the sign of Cancer, you find it difficult to make a choice. You are very conscious of the choice to be made, that a choice has to be made, and you can't decide one way or the other. Or you may find that you are offered no choice. Women who are born under Cancer are generally prolific mothers. They have no choice in the matter. They just bear child after child. That's the physical event. You have to consider the inner significance of it all. Now, in Leo, a new phase begins. Those first four signs deal with origin, the origin of the universe, coming to the state of consciousness. Choice. Self-awareness as such. And this is an isolating self-awareness which is growing. In Leo there is incarnation. Something which is of the nature of transcendence for the first time comes into existence in man. Leo represents the hero, the culture hero. The one who puts things right, and so forth. Leo represents the masculine, exploring, dominating, conquering element, full of self-confidence, taking for granted that, oh yes, I shall do this, I shall do the other, and everybody else shall do as I tell them how it should be done. And so forth. Very magnanimous, and of course also having some of the difficulties of Leo, therefore. tends to be, when you get a bad Leo, you get the bombastic, blown up with self-importance type, and so forth. But this sign of Leo is an extremely important sign, because between Leo and Virgo, there is the constellation of Krater, the cup. You find Plato talking about this in his dialogues. And that teaching of Plato comes from very ancient times, from about 3 or 4 centuries at least before Plato. The teaching of the mysteries. They put it in this form: the soul breaking through the ring pass not, which is the zodiac, enters our universe through this cup, and it drinks the heady wine of life. It gets intoxicated and forgets its divine origin. It enters into incarnation, self-conscious, isolatingly self-conscious, in the state of sin, therefore. And it has to fight its way through. Krater, the cup, between Leo and Virgo. Leo, the man, Virgo, the woman. The masculine and feminine aspects of our own selves are represented in those two constellations. The one engenders the other. The one by itself is meaningless. You need the two together. Now, from under Cancer, when life itself starts, there extends Hydra, the serpent. The head of Hydra is under Cancer, and his tail ends up between Virgo and Libra, the tempter. Now, the significance of that is this. The riddle of the Sphinx. You are incarnate now. What are you going to do with this divine gift? And it's a terrible question the Sphinx asks, because the soul has forgotten its divine origin. It has, to put it in our terms, forgotten that there is only one total reality. And this applies to all of us here now too, isn't it? We are in that state. I, the person, want to assert myself, want to have my wishes fulfilled, my ambitions, and all the rest of it. What am I doing? Forgetting the one reality, I'm driving myself out of the Garden of Eden. When the masculine and feminine elements in us find their harmony, their balance, there is marriage, which is represented by Libra. The balance. And as you know, the scales never just stay put. If scales stayed put in constant equilibrium, you couldn't weigh anything at all. They'd be useless as scales. They are always doing this, aren't they? Going up, going down. Now, Virgo represents specialization and discrimination, just as Leo represents individuality and incarnation. I better give you the date of Virgo and Leo. Leo is the 22nd of July to the 22nd of August, and Virgo is 22nd August to 23rd of September, practically. So now, Leo, individuality and incarnation, Virgo, specialization and discrimination. Now, the ruler of Virgo, in the real sense, is Pallas Athene. And Athene represents hygiene, temperance, moderation, self-discipline and development, chastity, industry, and artisanship. Now, a word about this, which Virgo represents in terms of hygiene. The basic element involved here is how I eat and drink. What do I eat and drink? The cells of this body are dependent primarily upon what I eat and drink. That's the material which is converted into these cells. This body is the repository of energy. I mean, even in terms of ordinary science, we just know that every single atom is a storehouse of energy. The body is made up of so many, 10 to the 27, power 27 atoms, roughly. 27 or 28 in a large-sized fellow, I suppose. You see, 10 to the power 27 atoms. This is a vast storehouse of energy, even from the point of view of ordinary physical science. But it is also a storehouse of archetypal energy, of a transcendent nature. This storehouse responds to the influence of energy from the natural order of the universe, as well as this archetypal realm. If this is going to be a bad piece of apparatus, it will not respond sensitively. It will be insensitive to the great things, the good things, the perfect things. With an insensitive body, the religious life becomes a little bit difficult. You will find in all religious disciplines considerable emphasis being laid upon food and drink. At present, I'm talking of it from the standpoint of power, energy, not from the standpoint of just the different characteristics, greed and gluttony and all the rest of it, which is also extremely important, of course. If you want to become really sensitive and to be able to respond in the right way to these energies which are constantly flowing in and out throughout the universe, then discipline yourself with regard to your food and your drink. Now, don't ask me what I should eat. You find out for yourself what you should eat. Remember, we started off this meeting by considering for a little while how you become aware of the movement of your own life, how your own life moves. If you are quiet, if you can meditate quietly, and you discover from within yourself how your own life moves, you will get the indications in relation to this matter of food and drink what you should do. Listen to other people, of course, study the subject, read the books, obtain the knowledge, but keep your mind open and remain sensible. Don't say, oh, Professor XYZ, the great authority has said so and so, and I'm going therefore to live upon 2.5 pints of milk a day. You might remain a wonderful baby that way. No. Use your intelligence. And with it, use your values, compassion, considerateness for all the kingdoms of nature. None of the kingdoms of nature exist in order that they may be exploited by me. Because my self-consciousness is an isolating self-consciousness. I am cruel, I am oppressive. I have no sense of my responsibility to nurture and sustain and help everything that there is. In the first chapter of Genesis, man was given dominion over the beasts of the field and the birds and everything else. What does dominion mean? Not dominate. To be Lord, dominus, to be Lord and Master means to be responsible for the well-being of everything and everybody that comes within your purview at the expense of oneself as and when necessary. It's only the unselfed person who can exercise true dominion. The transcendent is Lord and Master over all of us and over the entire universe. What sort of a dominion is it? Is it an oppressive, cruel, miserably selfish, self-centered, self-oriented domination by some stupid autocrat up there? Not the least bit. Now that is the meaning of dominion. Having dominion over the animal, over the plant, over Mother Earth. Mother Earth, honor thy mother and father. So, food and drink is important. And you decide for yourself. Next, Libra, equilibrium, love. Love which reaches the perfect expression of reciprocal relationship. This is the balance of Libra. The peak point of the perfection of reciprocal relationship. When this finds its ultimate transcendent fulfillment in Pisces, then it is transcendent love, entirely free of any reciprocal conditions being laid down. But for most human beings, it is a reciprocal thing, the relationship between man and man. And this finds its perfection in Libra. If you are a Libran, 23rd of September to 23rd of October, you come under that. That will come to fruition. And when that comes to, if that comes to fruition in your life, you are an open vessel for transcendent love to make its impress on you. If this relationship is understood and expressed in perfection, then the transcendent relationship finds no obstruction to its fulfillment. Libra stands for marriage, and it is in the relationship of marriage that the supreme testing of all this takes place, doesn't it? Because the old boy is always there, and the old girl is always there. And if things go wrong once, then they go wrong twice, then the third time, the fourth time, and the whole thing has a mounting crescendo of difficulty associated with it. So too with the pleasant side, all the pleasant things. And what happens to the man and the wife? They form pictures of each other. That, oh yes, my wife's marvelous this way, that way, but this way, that way, so and so. And with the but, I go to the, because of the but, I go to the blacksmith and say, I want armor of such and such a type, you see, for protection. And the wife does the same with respect to the husband. And this thing called tolerance is built up as an armor plating, not as an understanding because of which will come resolution of the discords. And so these two images live side by side and jog along according to the law and according to this, that and the other. And all sorts of reasons are invented. Oh, for the children's sake. Oh, somehow I can't break down the business because of this, that, another. I must endure this and so forth. You see how we heap up this burden of unnecessary sorrow. Man is a creature who came into being in order that the phenomenon of understanding may come to fulfillment. Your cat or your dog can't do that. Only you and I can do that. This understanding, which is not mere knowledge, mere knowledge, all acquired knowledge, is an analytical thing. It's a mode of perception which takes apart and then mechanically puts the pieces together. But understanding is that power which, like life, makes the living thing grow. It's a mystery. How does it grow? How does the bud just open out, blossom, and display perfect beauty? It's a transcendent wonder. Understanding is like that. And therefore, that is love. And it is that sort of thing which the marriage represented in Libra has to express. Don't think that these things apply just to the particular limited forms of marriage. There's the marriage of minds. There is the marriage which occurs through the friendship of people. There is the marriage which occurs in so many different ways. The pianist is married to his piano. And you can always hear that, yes, here is the perfect marriage coming out in those wonderful tones out of that piano. The piano is the woman who sings when the pianist caresses her. It's like that. And in every sphere of life it can come out. See, the archetypal energy manifests in all the innumerable ways with which we are acquainted, plus infinitely more innumerable ways with which we are not acquainted. But try and understand this sort of thing, and you will find fulfillment. Life fulfilling itself through you. Culture and the ideal of happiness in Libra. Now remember, Libra is the scales, the balance. Both pleasure, pain are included in this balancing. Pleasure, pain. And if this pleasure, pain complex is really understood, then happiness will inevitably blossom out through you. Even if you are in pain, you will be a source of happiness to your whole situation. Now, Scorpio, October 23rd, almost till November 22nd, stands for power and sex. Power in manifestation. The power of Aries, the force of Aries goes out as creation. Now, power produces results, does things, makes things, and so forth. But that power is inevitably misused if the journey from Leo to Libra has gone the wrong way. If instead of following the path of Athene, one follows the path of Circe, the sorceress, then that power in Scorpio is destruction, horror, pain. The path of Circe, cunning, magic. Magic by suggestion. Think of advertisements. Manipulation of physical elements to evade the consequences of faulty habits, of vice, of the disregard of natural law. Therefore, you invent ways and means to counteract the evil effects. All this comes under Circe. And the ways and means to counteract: drugs, palliatives, potions, the golden pill which will solve all and give you the opportunity to go the way of the devil as much as you like. All that comes under Circe. And what does Circe do with those who fall under her spell? With her magic, she changes them into loathsome beasts. So by the time the person has arrived at the manifestation of Scorpio in his life, power is always misapplied, misused and misapplied. And sex. Sex not merely in the limited biological sense. But sex operates throughout all manifestation, the interplay of positive and negative, the interplay of male and female. in all shapes and forms throughout the universe. That is Scorpio at work. Now, although we come under a particular sign because we were born, that sign, what that sign represents, will in all likelihood play a predominant part in one's own life. But you see, there are 12 signs. The whole zodiac operates with us. There are 9 planets scattered through the 12 signs. There are 12 house divisions and all sorts of cycles within cycles, so to say, you see. And they all have their symbolistic meaning. Don't say that it is the constellation or the star which is doing this to me. It's doing nothing at all. It doesn't know you at all. You were never introduced and you never will be introduced to each other. You see? Understand it as, approach it as a way of understanding how one's own psychophysical being works. This is the important thing. You see? And there is a correspondence. As I said earlier, only the perfected Holy One can read the signs of the heavens aright. And the perfected Holy Ones taught their disciples and used this knowledge for their spiritual fulfillment. In Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 22nd, we have revelation and the ideal of truth and right. These things come to fulfillment. Now, supposing you're a Sagittarian, you might say, good gracious me, I've never had any revelation whatsoever through my life. Of course not. But what have you done that revelation may come to you? No wonder it hasn't come. Nevertheless, the archetypal energy working through your psychophysical organism is putting out that influence on you. The archetypal energy is putting out that influence, not the sign Sagittarius in the sky. It's a very wonderful sign, Sagittarius. Aquila, the eagle, Cygnus, the swan, and Hercules, they are all nearby Sagittarius, with all their profound significances. Look into your Greek mythology, it'll help you a lot. Nevertheless, revelation is the keynote for the Sagittarian and the ideal of truth and right. But if the preparation has not been right, from Virgo onwards, when the paths bifurcate, the path of Athene and the path of Circe, if the preparation hasn't been right, one becomes dogmatic, autocratic, laying down the law person, this is the right, and this is the truth, and this is how it shall be. And so the archetypal energy functions destructively, as we would say. In Capricorn, December 22nd to January 21st, we get organization, authority and capital, resources of the world. Authority, which is inevitably present in the one who is capable. Because you are what you are, that is your authority. If you are the perfected Holy One, you are invested with divine authority. It is not like an MBE which you can return to His or Her Majesty. It is you that is your authority. It is authority which is not imposed. My father was a Capricornian, born 11th of January. And he never imposed any authority over us in the home. Or in his work. And he held a very responsible situation. He had about 5,000 people altogether under him. Never imposed any authority. But wheresoever my father was, everyone did as suggested. He had that peculiar authoritativeness about him. Gentle, perfect. No imposition. So in that sense, authority. Organization in the same way. In the real organic sense. Bringing to fruition, to fulfillment, in terms of manifestation. The ultimate manifestation takes place in Capricorn. After that, the form must begin to break up. If it doesn't, then you get fossilization. Then you get the stagnation of church and state and factory and whatever it is. Organization, in that sense. This is the final manifestation. And the utilization of resources, right utilization. But there can be no right utilization if I'm not free from self-orientedness. And this isolating self-consciousness. Then, January 21st to February 21st, or 20th sometimes, Aquarius, the sign through which cooperation and civilization manifest. Cooperation. All our cooperation in the world today is an imposed cooperation. You and I cooperate because we must. That stupid phrase, enlightened self-interest, underlies cooperation which exists in the world. That is why failures come again and again. It's extraordinary that a new generation has grown up since the last war without a war on a global scale. Boer War, 1914-18, 1939-45. Think of the periods involved. One generation of youth growing up, and that is war. This time, 25 years have passed. It will be 26 years soon. 26 years have passed. And the nations try to preserve the peace, not because they have peace in their hearts, but because they are frightened of extermination. And therefore see how the evil force of violence, of self-indulgence, our so-called permissive society, which is nothing but a self-indulgent, violent, lecherous society. That's the plain fact. Permissiveness is the word which means precisely that and nothing else. Has come about instead of a war. So, cooperation. There can be cooperation only between free souls. There cannot be anything but cooperation between free souls. people try to cooperate in order to bring about freedom. But you start with freedom, and there is inevitably cooperation. That is the right way around. Have you ever tried to drink your tea holding the cup upside down? That's what the world does. The responsibility is ours, yours and mine, as individuals. Insofar as we understand, we see the movement of life within ourselves, become free of this isolating self-consciousness, free therefore of so many evils attached to it, inevitably attached to it. Insofar as we do that, this archetypal power which will bring the earth and all that there is to fruition will be free to function that way. We are the obstructors. Do the plants go on strike? Or do the lions go on strike against the birds? No, only we do. Then there will be civilization. And all that is associated with civilization, in the loveliest and the finest sense, without the misery of possessiveness, of the fulfilling of ambition, without any envy, without any greed and so forth, without any 296,000 pounds for a painting. The painter will paint for the glory of God, and the person who can see and enjoy that will see and enjoy it for the glory of God. That will be civilization. Not this accumulation of art treasures and possessions and all the rest of it. By all means, buy something beautiful when you see it and put it on your mantelpiece, all right. But be fully awake to what you are doing so that you don't get attached to it. Don't, on the other hand, open the window and throw all the stuff out. Withholding as well as expressing. And then, finally, that last sign, Pisces, most extraordinary sign. If everything in one's own life has moved in the right way, and remember, whatever sign we come under, our whole life, our life as a whole, is also to be regarded as starting with Aries and ending up in Pisces. And not only our life as a whole from the time we were born till the time we die, but every stage of our life includes the whole of the zodiac. As I said last time, you, the living being, are the whole zodiac. You see? In Pisces, I beg your pardon, that's right, Pisces, February 20th or 21st, till March 20th or 21st. Roughly every 4 years, the spring, the vernal equinox takes place on the 20th of March, because of the leap year coming in, you see. And usually for 3 years, it will be on the 21st of March. The sun enters Aries. Now, in Pisces, there is the final flowering and fruition. But the final flowering and fruition, not in terms of manifestation, not in terms of staying, but in terms of I'll put it this way, taking leave. Taking leave graciously, beautifully, with no untidy, undone things left over. A commingling, a gradual entering into the twilight. And if you're wonderful enough and fortunate enough, into the complete darkness with eyes capable of seeing the unending light in that darkness. Look, this may all sound as a rigmarole of words. They aren't. If one doesn't understand, it is just words. But if one is capable of being sensitive and responding, you will find marvelous things in all this. This entering into the dark, in which there is the unending light. And this is the total dissolution of all selfness. And you are the unresisting, transparent nexus for the outflow of transcendence now through you. Because that transcendence will throw out the next great cycle of creation, starting with Aries after Pisces. The archetypal energies work, are manifested in their workings somewhat along these lines. This dissolution is also the love that unites all life. I would suggest, you remember what applies to your own sign, the sign of the sun, and you meditate upon this. So in Pisces there is the commingling, there is this dissolution, the love that unites all manifest life, and it is death, the portal to recreation. Death, the portal to recreation, not my re-emergence. Get rid of all such petty little ideas. Look, we have it illustrated in our own living body. The cells of the body undergo continual change, don't they? If you take any one cell in the body, was it the identical cell which was there 7-10 years ago? It's a new cell. Quite different. There's new creation. There's an apparent continuity, but it is actually a new creation. We think in terms of continuity because we are conditioned to, and we are accustomed to think in terms of this continuity, like a river flowing along, you see. Or that a yardstick is 1 yard long, continuous stick. But if you and I had the eyes which could see separate atoms, we would see all the spaces between the atoms. And the interspace between the atoms is so vast that it is very difficult to see what stuff there is there. We'd see emptiness. So when we look at a solid object, we are looking at concretized emptiness. You see?